welcome to the Dallas Soccer Show. I'm Dustin Nation, and I'm here with the potentate of podcasting, Tristan Vick. How are you doing, Tristan?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really well.
We're rolling off I'm doing all right. We're rolling off a big win for FC Dallas over the weekend, and we are going to start going into our mid-season awards, so you've got both of those things to look forward into this episode. So let's get right into it. Tristan, why don't you tell us about what you thought about the Kansas City win?
Yeah, it was prime time Saturday evening MLS on ESPN match, so everybody across the country got to see that.
We sandwiched in between two International Championship Cup games.
Yeah, that's kind of a... I've already talked about how dumb that tournament is, but...
It's national audiences that are tuning in for specifically for soccer.
Yeah, but it's like... it's like watching the fifth team goalkeeper play. It's like the guy right now taking a penalty for Juventus against the MLS All-Stars. I've never heard of this person. When the numbers get above like 40, you know, it's, they're kind of like just finding warm bodies off the bench for most of these players. So, that's kind of my thoughts and feelings. Nonetheless, the Kansas City match was pretty awesome for FC Dallas fans who have been wanting us to show how well we can play on the road against a good team. We got that answer. I honestly did not expect anything. Anyone that tells you they did going into that match is probably lying to you. I felt like we had quite the week as far as turnover in the squad goes and some players leaving, big trades, all those sorts of things affecting morale. But going into the match, we got a strong lineup with a front three that included Akindele kind of filling in. And then we made a switch after about 20 minutes. We had Arruti, Barrios, and Akindele, and Arruti was playing a little bit centrally. But then people started to notice that Arruti kind of dropped off, and you had Lamont, Akindele playing on the wings, and then Barrios was playing kind of as like a lone center forward. And I've never seen a player... Well, I have seen it, but it was pretty bad. Ike Opara, the center back for Kansas City, was just run ragged by Barrios all night, and he got himself his first goal, his second goal, and his third goal of the season. And we take the win 3-2, and man, it's hard to say, like, hey, we got it made, like, we're sitting really pretty now, but because of last season. But I really can't see how this team is not the favorite to at least make it to MLS Cup, or at least get to the finals of the conference. So I'm looking forward to this team. They are built for the long haul.
Yeah, it's definitely a pleasant surprise. None of us expected to be sitting here in first place in the middle of the season. I think my original prediction was something like sixth, barely making it into the playoffs. But, you know, and I don't want to speak too soon or jinx us in any way, but we are first in the West and we're 6 points up on the nearest competitor, which is LAFC. And we've got a game in hand on most of the teams that are on the outside of the window. So, you know, and I agree. I think we've made some changes, given us some more depth and have that tactical flexibility this season that we didn't have last season that can get us through some of the trials and tribulations that we're going to face in the down the stretch. So, I'm super encouraged by that win. I watched it. I had some buddies over and kind of peripherally watched it, and I didn't get to really analyze it, but it looked like we pretty much bossed the whole thing, pretty much a complete game from where I was watching. And I guess Michael Barrios, that's an infinite. And Michael Barrios increased his goal total by infinity. So
I don't quite get that, but I believe
zero,
you.
Zero to three. Zero
He increased it by 3.
Well, okay, yeah. I guess the Infinity sounds much more impressive.
Yeah, it just confuses me. So, I believe you. I agree. I thought it was, like, for somebody who's been... So, like, I'm of the opinion that Barrios has been one of our better players this season, and his numbers don't reflect that, but that's mainly because it's hard to kind of quantify some of the contributions he's had. And so I think it was pretty awesome to see him come off a game with such a dramatic impact, especially after the Houston match where he was single-handedly responsible for basically both goals or both opportunities, one that we converted and one that was the Lamar penalty. So it was redemption for him. So that's pretty awesome. And then also I think it was just really cool to see him finally get that third, get that hat trick, wrap it up. And it was without question, the man of the match performance, as well as I think probably the best single game that a player has played for us all year. So well done to him. And now we get to come back to the comfy confines of the steaming pit of Texas, although it won't be too hot, as hot this weekend, and see what the home crowd can do for us. So
yeah, hopefully we'll have a good turnout, coming off some success and some soccer awareness in the public right now. So
hopefully there's a big crowd. It's our first match post World Cup, I believe. Mm-hmm.
Colorado, we had the Colorado match.
Oh, did we have that?
And, you know, it wasn't a huge crowd in that Colorado match, but man, it was a fun atmosphere. The crowd was super into it. So hopefully we can emulate that, replicate that here on Saturday.
Yeah.
In other news, Dominic Badji has landed. He is in town. And so we are now in the Dominic Badji era or something. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think it was cool that Kellen Acosta got a start and he got a goal for Colorado this weekend. So everybody's kind of settling in. I'm excited to see Badji play. I think it'll be, I think somebody like a Rudy who tries so hard will be really excited about this new addition. So
yeah, imagine doing kind of like what we did last week against Kansas City, but with Badji in place of Barrios and Barrios moving over to where Tesho was. I think that could be super potent. So
I agree.
Any other news we're missing?
As far as FC Dallas goes, we've signed Moises Hernandez, who people may have remembered, played for us a couple years ago. Homegrown player, and just to give us some added depth, Marquinhos Pedroso got the start, which was
What'd you think about him?
I thought he wanted to get involved, and I really enjoyed seeing that. The biggest part of what he offered me was seeing the way that he was able to link up well with players down the left-hand side. He was a little bit caught out at times, but I think that just comes with that communication that he'll develop with Ziegler over on the left-hand side. And then obviously with the midfield when they track back. So I thought he looked good on the ball. I thought he had decent positioning and he never really seemed to get caught out. I want to see him kind of go up against a faster attacking front, like maybe when we play Galaxy next, or if I think we have a LAFC coming up soon. I want to see how he does against some speedier players, and then I'll really know and feel. But he looked comfortable, good on the ball, and fit in well. So I think that's going to be something to look forward to. It's only going to get better, is basically what I would say. More ups than downs.
Excellent. It's good to hear. Good to see. So,
and this week was the monthly barbecue that they do in the stadium. So the players will be well fed.
Yes.
Everybody but Mr. Hedges, who's in Atlanta. So for the All-Star game.
And maybe they put some in the fridge for him.
I would hope. It'll look to be quite a bit. So The Instagrams of all the players was overloaded with barbecue yesterday. So.
Meat.
Exactly.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and transition into our mid-season awards for 2018. You're listening to the Dallas Soccer Show with Dustin Nation and Tristan Vick.
There's your breaking news sound effect, everybody. It's a high quality production here. And
we need a drum roll effect too at some point here in a little bit.
Wait for my kids to go to sleep. and then I'll do a drum roll. But nonetheless, why don't you go ahead and kick us off, Dustin? If you're going to do an MVP or anything like that, the most valuable person is Oscar Pereja. So boom, mic drop, I'm done. But I'll do your other ones. Let's see what we got. Who's up for an award this year?
Okay, so we are going to go down the list of very similar to the awards we handed out last season for the midseason. We might add one or skip one, but we'll just go down the list here. So we're going to start with the pinch hitter award, which would be basically the depth player award, the player that's come off the bench or stepped into a role they didn't expect to step into at the beginning of the season and performed the best. So for me, I would say that would have to be between Hollingshead whenever he stepped in for Anton whenever he was hurt, or Tesho for coming off the bench for basically stepping in that Atlanta match and saving our bacon and giving us that awesome win.
Yep.
And so I think that, drum roll, I'm going to give that award to Tesho Akindele. So I think that win was huge.
Yeah, that was a big win. I couldn't fault you for going with Tesho. I will say that what was it called? The stand-in?
Pinch hitter award, or like the best deputy or something. Basically the best depth player. We should probably work on our branding for these.
Nah, branding. I think that Jimmy Maurer gets my vote.
Ooh, good call.
I was very impressed with the way we started this season. It was not at all something that anybody was really expecting who hadn't watched the Cosmos in the USL last year or in years past, but I was pretty excited to see us start off the season with such a good defense. Maurer was a big reason for that. And while Gonzalez has been good, I feel kind of bummed we didn't make it further in the Open Cup, because that probably would have been a place where Maurer gets some minutes. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I mean, we're on a good run of form. I'll be excited to see us hopefully clinch playoffs eventually, and maybe he gets some time when we rest some players. But I was very impressed with Maurer, seeing him in person, being able to kind of adapt well to a kind of a new defense where only one starter really returned from that back four was pretty solid.
I like it, Tristan.
Good.
All right. So the next one would be the most likely to go missing award, or the Houdini award. I think last year we handed this out. Let me explain what it is. It's the player that performs really well and then just doesn't, you don't see him for a while, and then he'll perform well. And then I think last year we gave this to Roland Lamont. I think both of us would have to go check the archives. But I this year I'm also giving it to Roland Lamont. I think it was a close call between him and Arudy. Arudy can have some good performances, and then you just don't really kind of hear much from him. But Lamont scored a bunch, and then we haven't heard a whole lot from him in the scoring area recently. So,
yeah, that's probably a fair shot. He tends to do the bunches. But for me, it was kind of a tie between Lamont, and then I actually really like the idea of Chicory Hayes. I think Chicory Hayes
still plays on this team, huh?
He does. Yeah. He, I think the biggest, I mean, this, I think the biggest thing that people have taken away from the Acosta trade was the way that, Hayes kind of supplanted him as like the next best center midfielder on the team after the three that start typically. So, or after Guerrero and Ulloa. So I think that's probably my biggest.
He started quite a bit at the beginning of the season and he just hasn't, I can't remember the last time I watched him, the last time he actually started.
Yeah, he hasn't started in a while, and I think he's kind of, he's dealt with a few injuries.
Yeah.
But then
some knocks.
Yeah, some knocks. But he's also been able to have a, I think, a good spot in that he's training with the first team more. He's on the bench for every match, I think, now. And I kind of see him as like a solid, but he's not going to do anything spectacular. Mm-hmm. But the chances of him screwing up are, so if Guerrero gets on a yellow card early, for instance, like he has, mm-hmm. those types of things, you have a guy like Hayes to come in and yep. be the calming force behind it.
Gotcha. Yeah. So moving on to the next one, we have the best signing award. So this one would go to the best or to the player that was signed in 2018 or after the 2017 season who has come in and shown the brightest. Would you like to go first on this one?
I would, but my biggest issue with this is that we've had so many late signings that it's a very premature.
Well, that's the whole idea of this award show.
I would go with Ziegler just because he's been very consistent. He's been a calming force. Whenever you get somebody who's played in two World Cups, who's had quite a bit of experience across the world, that's always going to be a good, it's always going to be a good thing for the team. So,
yeah. So, you know, I really like how Santiago Mascherá has come in and started to settle. I really wished, you know, obviously we wish he hadn't got injured. I think that if he hadn't had these two hamstring injuries, that I think that we would be talking about him in a lot more contention for this, because I think that he would really start imposing himself. But you know, reality is reality, and he's had to sit quite a bit. So, and that's hampered his ability to do so. So I think I'm going to agree with you on Reto Ziegler as the best signing so far in 2018.
Not a bad shot. Can't fault you there.
Because it was your shout.
Yep. I mean, like, and honestly, you heard stories in the off season and early in the season about how how the presence of Ziegler was kind of a cool uniting way for these players from all over to have a person on the team that was able to really connect these different backgrounds and these other people. And I think he speaks like five languages. He's played all over. And like I said, he's also got, he's also had the privilege of playing in two World Cups. So
yep.
I think that's I think Ziegler's probably a hands down best choice.
Excellent. Okay, so the next one is the goal of the midseason. For me, just because, you know, I've had a chance to talk to him and I think it was an awesome first goal, I'm going to go with Reggie Cannon's left-footed curler into the far corner of the box for my goal of the midseason. Mm. I think that you know, it was emotionally charged. You could tell everyone enjoyed it, and it came at a good time, and it was an important goal, and it was important for him and for the team. So that would be my goal in the midseason. How about you?
For me, it's going to end up being the, I would say the, this is tough. I liked that goal, but I think the third goal that Tesho had against Atlanta was a great goal, and it was unexpected, and just everything about that match, the last 10 minutes, I didn't get to see too much of it, but when I went too much of it live, but when I came back, I went ahead and watched it again, and I thought that the team played just, I mean, Atlanta just switched off, and those are the types of goals that we weren't getting last year. And so, and the type of wins. So
yeah, those hard fought, dirty wins. Love it.
Yep. It was nice.
All right. So that would then bring us to the 90 minutes of bliss award, the best match so far this midseason. What do you got on that one?
Okay. Yeah, the best match so far this season has probably been Atlanta. In my opinion, that was pretty good. I also really liked the Kansas City match. The crowd has gotten steadily better at Toyota Stadium. And so I think that's always nice to see. But that being said, I mean, the match with the biggest crowd against the Galaxy was all right. There was nothing special about it. It just was a big crowd. But I would go with the Atlanta United match. I think that was a huge win because there's no team right now in MLS that has more hype and more
more backing from the MLS.
Yeah, well, they just have such a good fan base. I mean, like, talk about like a market that's been receptive to a team. That is fantastic. For a city that you would not think of as a soccer hotbed, that city has just taken to that team amazingly. So, yep, I will still go with that match as well.
Yeah, so I'm right there with you with the Atlanta and the KC match. I'm trying to think back to think of any match that was more completely played. Then, so here's my thing with the KC match over the Atlanta match. And I'm changing my mind as I'm sitting here talking. You know, that KC match, we went behind and we didn't play, you know, the greatest at the beginning, and it took some heroics in order to come back. With the Kansas City match, you know, we played good from the beginning to the end. And like, it was a complete game for us. So, I think in terms of pure emotion and excitement and, like statement being made, I think that win over Atlanta, I'm going to have to go with you and give that one the best match award so far this season.
Yep.
Took my hand off the chess piece. Time to move on.
Yep, it was a good match. I mean, it was a very good win.
All right. And so with every time you have a best, you also have a worst. And so this is the worst match award for the mid so far this season. For me, without a doubt, that is the New York Red Bulls match. We went up there and we should have stayed home. We didn't. No one came to play. We just got torn apart. I think that was the most frustrating time that I've, or game that I've watched so far this year by far.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I'll go back to the CONCACAF Champions League and coming in, going away to Pachuca with a little bit of an aggregate lead and just kind of blowing that whole tournament. I like to see cup runs, so I've been pretty disappointed with the non-league, obviously, competitions for this season. And so I liked in 2016 when they made that kind of an emphasis, and that was pretty cool. But I'm going to have to go with New York Red Bulls as well. The New York City match wasn't anything to write home about either, but What can you do when you play soccer on what's
what is
like
a field for ants?
Yeah, exactly. It's just terrible.
Yeah. There's an excuse there, I guess, maybe, if you're going to give excuses, but the Red Bull game, there wasn't any. We should have played better. So, all right. Now we're going to move on to some, I guess, individual player awards. The most improved player for this season so far. Tristan, who you got?
I have no statistical analysis done for this award.
Let's go with your gut, and then for the end of the years, you can
put really all the stats you want. So it's really hard to like say anything beyond that. I've been pretty impressed with Jesse Gonzalez, who I probably picked last year. But I would probably say it's between... Actually, you know what? Hedges had a really bad year last year, and I've been really impressed with Matt Hedges. So I would probably go with Matt Hedges. I think Reggie Cannon has improved throughout the season, but I would not say he's improved the most. So I would probably go with Hedges. I just think Hedges has really seemed in the kind of gotten his head in the game a lot earlier and not waited for the game to come to him, which is what you want to see from your center backs. So I'll go with Matt Hedges or Jesse Gonzalez. You can kind of pick between those two.
I think that's cheating, Tristan.
Hey, again, it's a podcast. Thank you.
It's true. Yeah, the podcast police aren't going to come and arrest us for not actually making a choice. Nope. Well, that means that I get to be wishy-washy on one of them too.
Go for it.
On this one, I am not going to be wishy-washy. I'm going to go. I hadn't thought about Matt Hedges the way you just mentioned it. But I'm going to go with another defender, and I think we're going to go with Reggie Cannon just because we saw at the beginning of the year how he would get turned the wrong way. He'd mark the wrong guy. You could tell he was really struggling to get used to the pace of first team football in the MLS and in the CONCACAF Champions League. And to see him turn it around the way he has has been really awesome to watch. He's in talks or in the conversation for, you know, maybe getting a national team call up just because of how well he's been performing. I forget which game it was. I think in each of the past couple of games, he's single-handedly stopped some odd man rushes just by going out and putting in a really good slide tackle. And I really think I'm just going to have to stick with Cannon on this, even though I was impressed with what you said about Hedges.
Yeah, Cannon's played more minutes for us than anybody else. So he's been a part of basically everything in terms of what we've done on the field. And so, yeah, if you look at year to date versus or year over year numbers and improvements, I think you can't go wrong with that. That being said, I wouldn't fault you for picking Reggie. I want to see some more positional awareness and a little bit more instinct on some of what he does going forward. I feel like he could do a little bit more as far as decision-making goes, not going forward, but he's definitely got time. He's only 20.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So the last award for the evening, the mid-season MVP. This is another one I've struggled with on deciding just one player. So it's my turn to cheat. I'm going to make you go first.
Yeah. Well,
do you have somebody?
Fine. No, I do. I do. Matt Hedges is my MVP. I hate that award, by the way. It's just so American. American. Nobody else has an American MVP. It's just silly.
Okay, shall we say it? Man of the midseason?
No, it's just player of the year.
Well, we're doing
Hedges
mid-season,
Hedges has been the best player overall consistently throughout the year. He's got 20 starts. He's doing everything. He has not been overly aggressive, which is good. It shows that he's not getting too frustrated. my favorite thing about what Hedges is doing is he's a lot more vocal this year, I think, than he has been in years past. He's growing into that role. I think what Hedges sees is, and rightfully or wrongfully, he sees his chance to kind of make a name for himself as a really solid defender that I don't know if he wants to go abroad or not, but he could definitely improve on this and be one of those late bloomers that does get a chance to go across like Jeff Cameron and play in Europe. He's already 28, so it's not like he's got a whole lot of time in front of him. However, I think that he's somebody who has really developed as he's gotten older, which is very rare for any sort of soccer player, but he's one that has surprised me at times. So I'm going to go with Hedges. I think Hedges is the key to our success because we have kept quite the tight back line, which if you look at, we're not scoring a lot of goals. we scored a lot this season or this week, but if you look at the actual statistics, I mean, we're top of the table and every team from fifth on, second has more. The Galaxy have 43. They're in third. LAFC's got 44 goals. Sporting's got 39. Houston, down in ninth place in the West, is 39. And then you look over at the East, same thing. The top three teams in the East all have way more than we do. We are only on 35 goals. But we've got 25 goals against, which is among the best in the league. We have a low goal differential. We eke out a lot of close wins, and I think that's down to having a calm back line. So Hedges is my player of the year so far.
Yep. Hard to argue with that at all. He was in my top two as well. I mentioned earlier, I hadn't thought of him as, you know, the most improved because, you know, I'd kind of forgotten about how his form had dipped last season after he got back from the Gold Cup. I try to block that out of my mind. But I'm going to go with Matt Hedges as well for the midseason MVP just because, you know, that, like you said, that D has been so solid. I think there's only the only team that scored or allowed less goals than us is Seattle, and we're tied with Portland at 25 goals against so far. And that's across the entirety of MLS. And so, and like you said, he's the leader of that line. He's got a new partner this season. Like really he's the only piece left from last season, and he's, you know, led the line and got those guys to be cohesive and work together as a team. And, you know, I think last season, I think Walker Zimmerman really hurt Hedges' performance. I think Walker was trying super hard to try to be impressive. I think he still has some of that in him, and he'll just have a howler, you know. He'll just go out and try too hard and make a huge error, and then Hedges is on the hook for trying to make up for him. And so he's always had that in the back of his mind. And this season, he's got a much more stable partner in Ziegler. And Ziegler has his moments too with that, you know, where he'll just go out and try to stab the ball. But overall, he's much more stable and reliable than Zimmerman. So Hedges is able to stay home more, maybe able to make better decisions, use his positioning more. Midseason MVP or man of the midseason for me is also Matt Hedges. So congratulations, Matt Hedges. And he played tonight in the All-Star game because of it.
Yep, he was out there. So it's well-deserved. I still don't really understand why we do an All-Star game, but whatever. especially in the middle of the season. I'm with you on that. I think he is, you can look at a lot of different pieces regarding this team, but if you look at Hedges' contribution, you kind of see that it's all built on having a solid defense. So I'm glad to see we have San Jose coming up this week, which hopefully we're not overlooking, but maybe we'll get a chance to see some of the lesser played names, and we'll maybe get some more emerging talent. Get our first look at Dominic Baggi, perhaps, get a little bit more Paxton Pomykal.
Pedroso.
It'd be nice to see.
Yeah. Do we have any, I guess, did Arangues go out of country to get his visa fixed as well?
I have no idea.
Or is he in the mix? I don't know.
I don't know anything beyond whatever they post on Instagram. So I'm telling you, it's really easy to like follow this stuff on Instagram. I'm assuming he's here because he posted something about being in Frisco earlier this week. So
yeah, just wondering if he's in the mix for some playing time this weekend. So I guess we'll find out. We'll stay tuned.
Absolutely.
And I guess we will be at that match. So if you see a tall, big guy with a beard and a smaller, skinny guy next to each other, it could be us. We'll be on the sunny side. So
yeah.
All right. Follow us on Twitter. We're at Dallas Soccer Show. Our website, I just redid the website. It's DallasSoccerShow.com. So let us know what you think about the new website. Added some fancy colors, some pretty pictures. And yeah, so check us out. Follow us, all that goodness. Subscribe. I think I'm done. So, all right, thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next time.